بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 20th of April in the year 2024 Alhamdulillah we're beginning the 12th week the 78th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the noble companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu and I've reached the point where I've mentioned that Sayyidina Uthman has been tragically martyred radiyallahu and Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As has migrated radiyallahu ta'ala from with his family to Ash-Sham i.e. to be with Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu. So the next section entitled The Tragic Civil Wars. There was now anarchy in the holy city of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Ummah was also now leaderless. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu had held back the sword of strife for as long as possible, but now it was released. Sayyidina Thawban radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا وُدِعَ الصَّيْفُ فِي أُمَّتِي لَمْ يُرْفَ عَنْهَا إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ When the sword is placed in my ummah, it will not be withdrawn until the last hour. So this is recorded in Dirmidhi, number 2209, Hassan Sahih, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 22,515. So this was a prophecy of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is when the sword is unleashed, he goes, it will continue until the last hour. So with Uthman's martyrdom, the sword was now going to be unleashed. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was thereupon sworn into the elite office and he took it reluctantly. There arose then the famous disagreement between Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu concerning the capture and execution of Sayyidina Uthman's assassins. This disagreement regrettably took the form of a battle and laid the foundation for the sad split of the Muslim Ummah. However, every sober and sane person knows the differences between these noble souls were based solely on the glorious deed. So obviously we would expect this and we know this, but it's also confirmed in the revelation. In Sahih Muslim, number 1065, Abu Dawud, number 4667, Sahih in the chapter on the Sunnah, Mishkat, Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger himself said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, تَمْرُقُ مَارِقَةً عِنْدَ فُرْقَةٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ يَقْتُلُهَا أَوْلَى طَائِفَتَيْنِ بِالْحَقِّ A rebellious group will emerge at a time of dissent amongst the Muslims and it will be destroyed by the closer of the two groups to the truth. So in this flawless report in Sahih Muslim, again, another prediction of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that a rebellious group will emerge. تَمْرُقُ مَارِقَةً عِنْدَ فُرْقَةٍ Firqa, the word firqa comes from that, i.e. a sect. So this will be a rebellious sect. And when will they emerge? At a time of dissent amongst Muslims. It will be destroyed by the closer of the two groups to the truth. So simply put, the Prophet mentioned three camps, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Two will be Muslims, the third will be rebellious. And out of the two warring Muslim factions, the one closer to the two truth will destroy the Khawarij. So here the Prophet was saying something in very succinct form, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Nawawi, he commented, rahmatullah alayhi, in Sharh Sahih Muslim, volume 7, page 235, this is a declaration that both parties are believers and fighting each other does not cancel their faith. Indeed, they should not even be called impious. So Imam Nawawi, he's commenting upon this Sahih Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, note that the Prophet called them Muslims. So even though they're at war with each other, it didn't cancel out their iman. And then he said, let alone that, you can't even call them impious. Now why did he, or how did he deduce that? Because what did the Prophet say at the end? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the firqa, the sect, will be destroyed by the closer of the two groups to the truth. So how can you call somebody impious if they're on the truth? So Imam Nawawi, he said this can be deduced from this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is known historically, it was indeed Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali Said radiyallahu that defeated the Khawarij. Therefore, the scholars rahimahumullah have gone on to say, Sayyidina Ali's side were in the right, radiyallahu. However, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu's side was also correct in their ijtihad. For Rasulullah clearly said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the group nearer to the truth, which means both were following the truth, be it so, one more than the other. So this is another classic example of many parts which are correct. But here the Prophet was highlighting one is more correct than the other. And of course, Amir al-Mu'mineen's path was the perfect path. Hazrat Muawiyah was also correct to a lesser degree, radiyallahu. Because of this, each of the parties acknowledged the other's religious standing and personal attributes and would make it known publicly. For instance, turning to Amir al-Mu'mineen side, in Al-Bidayah volume 8, page 131, Sayyidina Ali, radiyallahu, he said of Sayyidina Muawiyah on his return from the Battle of Siffin, O people, do not disapprove of Muawiyah's authority, for verily if you lose, you will witness heads falling from shoulders, just as the fruits of the wild gourd tree breaks and falls. So looking at this very brief, so it's after the Battle of Siffin, which we'll mention at the relevant time, but it was inconclusive. So Hazrat Ali, what did he say about Muawiyah's side, radiyallahu? He goes, don't disapprove of his governorship, meaning he's a governor, he's an Amir. And then he says, if you lose, meaning we are upon the losing side, though we're correct, you will witness heads falling from shoulders, meaning they're going to clamp down upon those who they think have swerved, and that also came true. Similarly, the beloved grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Hussein ibn Ali radiyallahu anhu, he said, I heard my father Ali radiyallahu saying that Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, an affair lingering day and night will not come to an end until Muawiyah is at the helm of the state. Subhanallah. This is recorded in Daylami in his Musnad al-Firdaus. Hafiz ibn Kathir in Al-Bidayah stated with a sahih chain of transmission. So if you look at this, is a very interesting report. First, the chain. So you got Imam Hussein, radiyallahu. He was only around 7 or 6 or 7 when the Prophet left the world, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he got most of the reports from his father. And this is one of them. He goes, I heard my father Ali hear that the Rasulullah said. So you got the grandson of Rasulullah hearing it from Rasulullah's son-in-law, who's hearing it from Rasulullah himself. An affair lingering day and night. Now what did he mean by that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What he meant was an inconclusive matter amongst the Muslims, an affair which will linger day and night. It will only come to an end until Muawiyah is at the helm of the state. Now imagine, this is when Rasulullah was with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with the companions. So what did Muawiyah instantly understand from this report? that he's going to become Khalif. Because the Prophet said it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But did he really understand what the lingering affair is going to be, which he will end? But at the same time, look how beautiful. The Prophet knew these incidents are going to take place. And he was saying, this is going to be the outcome. Now, what's amazing is, on whose authority do we get this hadith? On Ali's side. So imagine you're on the side of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and he's saying, your opponent, your noble opponent, this affair will finish only when he becomes the Khalif. How would you feel on the side of Ali? We're fighting a losing battle. And similarly, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger also said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the world ends, the Muslim Ummah will agree to the rule of Muawiyah radiyallahu. This is recorded in Nu'aym ibn Hammad and Al-Bidayah. So the scholars say something interesting here. Subhanallah, such was the pure and unblemished soul of Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu, that he did not hide the virtues of even his noble opponent at the time. And how could he, when in reality they were the words of no other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So think about that. Why didn't he just not narrate that report? Okay, he's heard it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't narrate it. Why are you relating it to your people, your forces, when it will dishearten them? Because he was a pure man. And he was making sure that you don't speak ill of Muawiyah. There's so many lessons you can take. How can you speak ill of him? When Rasulullah said he's going to become the Khalif, the Muslims will agree to his rule. Will the Muslims agree upon the rule of a munafiq? Astaghfirullah. So he was highlighting this for many reasons. But at the same time, what a pure soul he was that he mentioned this. Now let's turn to Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu would also constantly acknowledge Amir al-Mu'mineen's greatness and superiority. For instance, in Fath al-Bari 13-92, Al-Bidayah 8-129, the saintly Tabi'een, Abu Muslim al-Khawlani, one of the senior Tabi'een, rahmatullah alayh, he once approached Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu and he respectfully asked, are you competing with Ali radiyallahu anhu, or do you think you are his equal? Sayyidina Muawiyah replied radiyallahu anhu, no, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I indeed know he is better than me and that he is more worthy of the affair than I am. But you must be aware that Uthman radiyallahu anhu was killed unjustly. I am his paternal cousin and I demand vengeance for his blood. Thus go to him and ask him to surrender to me the murderers of Uthman. If he does so, I will submit to him. His message was conveyed, but Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali did not surrender Uthman's murderers to him. So again, at the Tabi'een, why are they asking? Because people were speaking. So they wanted clarification. So with all respect, he said to Amir Muawiyah, are you competing with Ali? Or do you think you're his equal? And he goes, no. He goes, by Allah, I never think this. Or I never said this. He goes, I am only wanting him to deal with my cousin's murder. If he hands his murderers over to me, I will submit. And then look how interesting. Abu Muslim Khawlani, he went all the way to Kufa and he conveyed that message. And Hazrat Ali did not surrender Uthman's murderers to him. In another report, Sayyidina Ali responded to the messenger, let him pledge obedience and he can then commence legal proceedings against them under my authority. However, Sayyidina Muawiyah refused to accept that solution. This is in Fath al-Bari 13-92. So again, interesting reports. Hazrat Ali says, fine, let him give the pledge of allegiance. And then, because we can go through the due process. And for reasons best known, Amir Muawiyah refused to accept that, radiallahu anhu. And what's interesting, Sayyidina Ali confirmed this stance taken by Muawiyah even in the Rafidi sources. So this is something we shouldn't really even quibble over. Even the Rafidis believe this was the case. So to give one proof, in Nahj al-Balagh, volume 3, page 648, Al-Sharif al-Riddi, he relates that Sayyidina Ali is reported to have said, radiallahu, in the beginning of our matter, the people of Sham and Iz met, it is one. We do not see ourselves more in faith in Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or more in believing His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, than them. No, they do. But our matter is one, except for our disagreement in Uthman's blood, and we are innocent of his murder. So here in this Rafidi reference, famous reference, Nahj al-Balagh, is called the Eloquent Sermons of Ali. It mentions there that Ali said exactly those words. He goes, they're believers, we're believers. However, our disagreement is over Uthman's murder. But then he said, we are innocent of his murder. Thus, Sayyidina Ali, radiallahu, was confirming that the conflict between him and Sayyidina Muawiyah, radiallahu, was about the murder of Uthman, radiallahu, not due to hatred or for the sake of leadership, as the ignoramuses often assert. So this is where people get confused. So you'll hear people talking about this period of Islamic history, and then suddenly they'll start saying, Hazrat Muawiyah wanted to become the Khalif. And you don't even realize that he slipped that in. So your response should be, when did he ever say that? That I should be the Khalif? He never wanted the Khilafat, because Ali is more deserving. He goes, it was nothing to do with authority, as ignoramus is said. Now if people persist, again, the scholars play games with them. Even if the sacred texts were not clear, if the misguided Rawafid insist on making Muawiyah a despotic, hungry for power, then reflect, the misguided Nasiba, i.e. the other extreme, who have hatred for the august family of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could similarly state that Ali, radiallahu, must also be a despotic, for he also fought the Muslims for nothing but the Khilaf. The misguided Nasima would add to this, it was Ali who initiated the fighting without an ultimate benefit for the Muslims. And then they would add, Ali retreated and then made peace with Muawiyah. What response would the Rawafid give to this? So even logically, it's not a firm ground to talk about. If you start saying Muawiyah was hungry for power, he was despotic, the Nasiba, unfortunately these people aren't around as they were in the past. These were the ones who hated the family of the Prophet. Like, you know, what's he called? Hajjaj bin Yusuf. And they would accuse Ali of being a despotic. Then you would say, why are you calling him a despotic? Because he initiated the fighting. It wasn't Muawiyah. And that's a proven fact. Hazrat Ali initiated fighting, radiallahu. And secondly, he didn't get anything from it except bloodshed. Because he retreated, made peace. So the Rawafid, what answer would they give to that? Then if the Rawafid take the hadith of Ammar, radiallahu, that he would be martyred by the transgressing party, which I'll mention at the relevant time, as a further argument, the Nasiba respond by stating that Allah Ta'ala did not make it a condition in the hadith to fight the transgressing party except when the transgressing party starts to fight. But Ali started the hostilities, thus making him the transgressor. So they're quoting the same hadiths. Because the transgressing party will kill Ammar. So the Nasiba say, who started hostilities? And you say, Ali. He killed him. So he's the transgressing party. And the slanders against Amir al-Mu'mineen would go on endless. the point of discussion in logic being this: for every argument that Rawafid have against Muawiyah radiallahu, there is similar arguments from other parties, the Khawarij, the Nasiba, and other sects. Now, why is this amazing? Allahu Akbar. It is only the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah who stand alone, who are pleased with both parties. Think about it, look how strange that is. In all the smokescreen of history, who are the only ones who speak well of both parties? It's certainly not the Rawafid, and it's certainly not the Nasiba. So who is it? It's the Ahlul Sunnah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, they do not consider them impious in the least, thus proving as always the following sahih statement from our beloved messenger. What did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made the following dua for Muawiyah radiallahu Allahumma ja'alhu hadiyan mahdiyan wahdibi. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make him a guide, one guided, and guide others through him. Subhanallah. So where is this recorded? This is recorded in Tirmidhi, number 3842, Hasan Gharib. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 17,915, or 4216. Bukhari in his Tariq al-Kabir, 5-240. Ibn Sa'ad in his Tabaqat, 7-292. Ibn Abi Asim in his Al-Ahad wal-Mathani, 2-358. Half is Ibn al-Athir in his Asad al-Ghaba, 1-386. Half is Khatib in his Tariq Baghdad, 1-208. Al-Bidaya in the section on the biography of Muawiyah, radiyallahu. Mishkat, volume 4, number 157, in the chapter on the companions in general. Shaykh al-Bani, rahmatullah alayhi, stated Sahih in his Sahih Sunan al-Tirmidhi, number 3018. Or 3-326. So this is a Sahih Hadith recorded in the Sunans, the Musnad, and various other blessed works. So what three du'as did the Prophet make for Muawiyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The first du'a, Allahumma ja'alhu hadiyan. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make him a guide. Second du'a, mahdiyan, one guided. Third du'a, Wahdibi, guide others through him. Those, as the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah maintain, guidance is attained by speaking honorably about this noble man, and indeed all the noble and magnificent companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Of course, the same is true vice versa. Misguidance is the end result of those who speak ill of any of these noble souls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves. Ameen. So look how amazing. You got these amazing statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he's talking about future conflict, and he's mentioning a sect emerging. He's mentioning the group closer to the truth will destroy the sect. He's making specific du'as about certain individuals who they don't even realize why the Prophet is making these du'as, possibly at the time. But really, these du'as were for us. He is a guide. If somebody goes, he wasn't a guide, you've negated the Prophet's dua for him. He's a guide. He's guided. Somebody goes, no, he isn't. You've negated the Prophet's words about him. And do you receive guidance through Muawiyah? And what do they say? They go, he's going to guide himself. How is he going to guide me? He went to war. He caused havoc. And the response is, but the Prophet said, guide others through him. So you haven't got guidance through him, meaning you're misguided. So look how amazing. And then he goes, where's this hadith? And he goes, oh brother, now you're going down that path. And you give them the references. Is it sahih? Yes, it is. Next question. Are you going to act upon it? Right? And if you don't, you have become a deviant. And this is why when it comes to Hazrat Muawiyah in particular, the Tabi'een, they said, we considered Hazrat Muawiyah like a curtain for the other companions. If the curtain is removed, the other companions will be targeted. So what's interesting, they said that he's actually the stepping stone to misguidance for the deviants. And that's why the Prophet made this dua. And what's beautiful about the dua, He said Mahdiyan. The Prophet said Mahdiyan, one guided. And the word Mahdi comes from that. Somebody goes, what does Imam Mahdi mean? He goes, the guided one, Mahdi. But his name is Muhammad ibn Abdullah. That's his title, Imam Mahdi. That's not his name. Then you say, who else is Mahdi? And then he goes, you've stumped me there, brother. He goes, somebody greater than Imam Mahdi. He goes, how can somebody be greater than Imam Mahdi? Because Imam Mahdi is not a sahaba. He's a tabi'in. He meets Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Muawiyah. And what did the tabi'in say in a sahih hadith in Al-Bidayah? He goes, if you lived during his rule, you would think he was Imam Mahdi. Now think about that. You know, people don't register that. Because why did they make that statement? Because you didn't live through his khilafat. And how could he not be described like that when Rasulullah made that dua for him? Hadiyam, make him one guided. And the tragedy of tragedies, people forget about getting guidance through him. You're saying he's misguided. Astaghfirullah. Therefore, let those with intellects reflect. So to reiterate, to summarize, simply put, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and his party, and this is important, when I say Sayyidina Muawiyah and his party, in his party were companions greater than him. Normally when you say Ali and his party, he's the greatest. When you say Muawiyah and his party, then you gotta say that needs a bit of clarification. Who had his understanding? Sayyidina Zubair, one of the 10 promised paradise. Sayyidina Talha, one of the 10 promised paradise. Sayyidina Aisha, our mother. And the list goes on, radiyallahu ta'ala. They thought they were correct in their stance. And they knew full well that many of the hypocrites and mischief mongers had now sided on Ali's side. Thus their opposition to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So this is what's interesting. Why did all these heavenly souls oppose, if that's the correct word to use, Hazrat Ali's understanding, radiyallahu? Because there is a fact, and a fact which nobody denies, is that they were the fish and the fowl on the side of Ali. They were the companions, the greatest, down to the munafiqs. And this is something which the Prophet himself highlighted, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So obviously there's going to be an opposition to him. So they knew some of the shayateen who were responsible for Uthman's murder were latching onto Hazrat Ali. So the opposition wasn't against Ali per se. It was against these shayateens with him. And therefore Hazrat Muawiyah took the stance that he did. But not forgetting there were greater people within his camp than him radiyallahu. So all I mentioned today was basically now giving or stepping into the tragic period in our history where the civil wars were going to erupt between the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But you have to tread very carefully. You need to understand that both sides were upon the truth. You need to establish that, not get emotional. Establish it. And once it's established, then to see how do we look at why they've taken the stances that they did. And then you realize that they were both upon truth and they testified themselves to that, both sides. But of course, this was all decreed by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are there any questions you like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الى من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان الذي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصل الحق واصل الصبر صدق الله العظيم